Let's get into our Bibles. Amen. Are you ready for this? It's going to be such a good word. I'm so excited for this. I've got a few minutes. Not many, but a few, but that's okay. Hallelujah. All right. There is grace for your place. Just a quick synopsis of what we're talking about there is God graces each one of us. When we are born, God graces us to do something. And the greatest place of satisfaction you will ever find is finding that grace that God graced you, or how he wired you, or what he created you for. We're all created with a purpose. We're all created with a purpose. And by the way, God put you in this span of time because he wanted you in this span of time. I don't know how many times I've heard people say, man, I should have been born in the 20, in the 10th century, or I should have been born whatever century it is, you know, because maybe they like that kind of era or whatever. Man, I was born in the wrong century. No, you weren't. No, you weren't. You were born in this dispensation of time because God wanted you here, because there's something only you can contribute to this span of time that nobody else can. I'll say it again. There's something that only you can contribute to this span of time that nobody else can. Why? Because he wired you to do it.
That's right.
Now, there's a lot of people that have not done their thing. I remember, you've heard me tell this story before. There was a pastor in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and he's pastoring a church now. But before he started pastoring that church, the Lord came to him and asked him, says, I want you to start this church. And he go, oh, Lord, I don't know. And he kept praying about it, kind of praying. And the Lord kept telling him, I want you to do it. I want you to do it. And finally, the Lord told him, says, are you going to turn me down like the other six have? God had spoken to six other people to start this church, but they had all turned him down. And no, I'm not going to do that. So he asked him, are you going to do it? Right? So there are six people that were not living in the plan that God had for their life. So we get that we can actually choose, can't we? We can get to sensing. We can kind of like, yeah, I feel like maybe I'm supposed to do this, but we make up one excuse or the other, or whatever thing it is that we allow to come in and be a distraction, rather it be fear, lack of confidence, whatever. But hey, you know what? God graces you to do some amazing things. Amen. Glory to God. And I've just always known that there's just always been with me ever since high school. It's like God has made me for greatness. Now, what I did not say God made me for popularity. Greatness and popularity is not the same thing. Being famous and being extremely wealthy and being in God's grace is not necessarily the same thing. God don't have a problem with wealth. I'll just make it clear. I mean, look at the city we're going to be living in when we get to heaven. Streets of gold, crystal sea, gates of pearl. I mean, God ain't got a problem with... God's the one that created gold. Remember in the garden, he says, you go down this river and there's gold there. And God puts this in the Bible. And by the way, that gold is very good. Right? So God don't have a problem with you having money. He don't have a problem with you being successful. He just don't want that money and that success to have you. He wants to always maintain your heart. So I call it prosperity with a purpose. Mm-hmm. Prosperity, God wants to prosper you, but there's a purpose for that. It's not to hoard up on yourself and just to embellish on your own self. Amen? Amen? But God has some wonderful things. So there is a place for you. God has a God-designed place for you to function in and to flow in. And I'm going to talk today about the desire part. Last week, we talked about the call. That God calls us, he woos us, he calls us. The Bible says the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. And then we talked about how many are called, but few are chosen. Well, the ones that were chosen was simply the ones that showed up. The ones that were chosen are the ones that answered the call. It's like I gave the illustration real quickly that, if I threw a party and I sent out a bunch of invitations. We just had a wedding here a couple of weeks ago, two or three weeks ago, whatever it was. Right? And they sent out invitations. Well, not everybody that was invited showed up. So guess what? Not everybody got to enjoy the wedding. Not everybody got to enjoy the festivities afterwards. Not everybody got to take pictures with the husband and the bride and the groom. But those of us who did show up, of course, I had to show up because me and Heather were doing the wedding. But I would have shown up anyway because we love these people, right? And we would have got to take pictures, and we did. But that's the whole thing. Many are called, but few are chosen. The chosen ones are simply the ones God didn't go, okay, well, everybody showed up, but I'm only going to pick you, 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 and you. No, the ones that showed up to the call, the one that answered the call, were chosen to do great things for God. And in my mind, I'm living in greatness right now. Why? Because I'm doing exactly what God's called me to do. You say, well, there's not very many people here. Numbers don't decide my level of greatness. Right? I'm living in greatness because I'm doing what I believe God's called me to do. Amen? So that's all that matters. That's how God grades rather you walking in greatness or not. It's not, well, you didn't have a church of 5,000. Well, maybe that's just not yet. Right? But it does. That number does not determine the greatness. The greatness is, I mean, think about the lady that gave the little widow's mite. She gave, the Bible says that they were giving, and she gave the two widow's mite. She gave everything that she had. Then you had other wealthy people there. They were throwing in large amounts of money. The Bible says Jesus was watching as the people gave. And then he says this afterwards. He says, this little old lady who gave two mites gave more than any of you combined. Right? Why? Because her heart was in her giving. They were giving out of what they, out of their extras. She gave everything she had. So in God's eyes, she gave more than the ones who gave much, much more monetarily. Amen? So greatness is determined by your obedience to the call and by your obedience to what God is asking you to do. That's how God grades greatness. Amen? So I'm living in greatness. And it feels good to be in the greatness of God. Amen? It's not because of me. It's because he called me. I didn't get a hold of God and say, okay, God, this is what I want you to call me to do. No, I got with God and I said, God, what is it? What do you want? Pastoring was not even on my radar. And at that point in high school, preaching wasn't even on my radar. Now, I loved God, but I went to God and said, God, what do you have for me? I'm thinking architect, band director. Those are a couple things that I really enjoyed. But I had to find, I couldn't go with what I enjoyed. I had to go with what, and it's crazy because I enjoy doing what I didn't think that I would ever be doing. I enjoy doing this far more than I would have ever enjoyed being an architect, far more than I would have ever enjoyed being a band director or being a professional musician or anything like that. I enjoy this way more, and I didn't even know it. So that's what the thing, you can't be afraid of what God's wired you to do, because I promise you, when you get into that and you start doing that, you're going to find much more fulfillment in that than anything the world can even offer. Amen. All right, let's talk about the desire for a couple of minutes, and then we'll pray. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, what time is it? Okay. All right, go with me to Philippians chapter 2. I have two verses for you today that's in my notes. I might slide back up to another one, but we're going to look at the two. Philippians chapter 2. How many know God is good? Yes. Remember that scripture we read last week? How about he is faithful. He is faithful to help you to accomplish everything he's called you to do. He's faithful. What does that mean? That means we're looking to him. We're looking to him. This is not about what can I get done in my own abilities. I don't want to do just what I can do in my own abilities. I want it to be supernatural. I don't want it to just be natural. I want it to be supernatural. What is supernatural? That's when God puts his super, his anointing, on your natural and helps you to do and accomplish more than you could have ever done in and of your own strength. Amen? I want God involved in everything that I do. I am so glad that God is involved in my breathing. You know how I know God's involved in my breathing? Because I keep doing it. I keep getting up every day. Every morning I get up, I'm taking breath, I'm still breathing. Praise God. He sustained me throughout the night. Well, there's a lot of unbelievers do that. Yeah, and God's sustaining them. They're just not recognizing that it's God sustaining them. Yeah, come on. That's right. Amen? Yeah. Just because they don't give you credit. What if you did something wonderful and nobody ever gave you credit for it? Does that mean you didn't do it? That just means they're not giving you credit for it. Right? God is the one who is sustaining this whole universe. He's the one sustaining this whole, even when people are doing evil things, he is still sustaining their breath. Why? Because he is so loving and so merciful that he's giving them every opportunity to give their life to him before they die and go to hell. Because God loves people. And he don't want anyone. He didn't create hell for humanity. He created it for the devil and his the falling angels. That's what the Bible says. He didn't create it for humanity. So he's doing everything, giving everybody every opportunity. Even people that commit suicide, it's like he's giving them opportunity. They could have run to him instead of running to a source to kill themselves. You know? Why? Because God's so merciful and so loving. Amen. All right, let's read this. Philippians chapter 2. Let's talk about the desire, because God don't only call you, but he puts a desire in you. Now, we're not talking about carnal, earthly, worldly desires, right? We can look at things in the world and say, oh, that looks fun. I think I'll try that. Why don't we find out what God's wired us to do? What has God called us to do? He will give you the desire to do it. Like I said, I didn't start off with a desire to pastor a church. Nah, did not. Absolutely did not want it. I've seen some pastors. I served under some pastors. I'm like, they're like, one day you're going to pastor. I'm like, no, I ain't. Have no desire for that. Until God began to put that desire in me. Amen. And now I love it. I'm so thankful that God called me to pastor this church, because I love doing what I do. Amen. All right, so here we go. Watch this. We're talking about desire. So Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. And I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. It says here in verse 13, for God is working in you. Everybody say, God is working in me. Say it again. God is working in me. All right, so watch this. For God is working in you, giving you the desire. God is working in you. What does it mean? Why is that God having to work in you? Because he's working in you to get all the flesh out. To get all the carnality out. All the desires for the things of the world out. You know, there's a scripture that says, you cannot be a friend of the world and a friend of God. If you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. Now, what is he talking about? Not the world like people being he don't want us being the enemy of people, but that world mentality. You know, I'm going to accomplish this because that's what I want to do, and I'm going to be successful at this because that's what I want to do. Come on. I'm not telling you to bail on everything. I'm telling you just to consult God. We quoted that scripture a while ago and when I was praying, to acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways. Then he would direct your path. Amen. All right, so for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power. So he's giving you the desire and the ability, the power, the ability from him to do what pleases him. Amen? So you know, I remember when I was I've been in church all my life. My mom had me in church. I mean, I was born and I was there the next Sunday, man. I mean, I've been in church all my life. And no, I didn't have a choice about it. And I'm glad I didn't have a choice about it. Because I'd have rather stayed home Sunday night watching the Dallas Cowboys than going to church. But I wasn't allowed to stay home and watch the Dallas Cowboys and not go to church. What my parents did do for me is, especially if the game, it was almost over, they talked to the pastor and he allowed me to go back into the Sunday school room to finish the game. And then after the game, then I could come into the service. I had a good pastor. He was awesome. I loved that man. Right? But I wasn't lying. So I've been in church all my life. But just because I was in church all my life, that did not mean that, I just want to do church the rest of my life. I did not mean, why? I had to have a personal relationship with Jesus. It was the day came when I was no longer riding on mom and daddy's coattails. I wasn't going to get into heaven because my parents were saved. I was only going to get into heaven because I've had a personal relationship with Jesus. Right? But here's the thing. Even though there was many different directions I could have gone, I was going to go and be a band director. My idol, if you want to call it that, was my band director, man. I loved Mr. Snowden, man. He was awesome. Awesome at what he did. I loved the man. He was a Christian, you know. I wanted to do what he did. But that's not what God had for me. And I wanted to be an architect. That's not what God had for me. Not in the natural anyway. He goes, no, I'm going to have you be an architect, but you're going to see and you're going to help build some things for the kingdom, though. Amen? And so that's one thing that I learned. It's like a lot of the things that we do desire are still somewhat connected to the things that God wants us to do. So you're going to love doing what God has for you. Amen? But he says here, For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. So what God had to do for me is he had to keep working with me. I had him working for a few years. I made him work for a few years, but he finally got that worldliness out of me, that desire to be like that person, or that desire to be like that person, or the desire to make the money that that person made. He finally got that stuff out to where I finally came to the place where I was comfortable praying, Lord, what do you have for me? It's amazing how many people I've talked to, well, just take it to the Lord and ask the Lord what he has for you. But I really want to do this. They're not comfortable. Why? Because they're afraid that what they want to do and what God wants them to do ain't going to be the same thing. Because they don't understand that if you can ever get to doing what God wants you to do, man, you're going to be, you're talking about happiness, you're talking about fulfillment and contentment, man, it doesn't get any better than that. Amen. Even when that area comes with challenges, you're like, that's okay, God's got this. But I know where I'm right where I'm supposed to be. And being in the middle of what God has for you is the safest place for you to be. I don't care what's flying around in the air. Bullets or sickness and disease, it doesn't matter. God will protect you. He'll take care of you. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. All right, I'm trying to stay on track here. I've got so many stories I want to tell. But it says here, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Well, let's just back up that one verse. I want you to see this because that verse starts with four. So there's a thought right before that. It says, dear friends, in verse 12, dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I am away, this is Paul speaking to the Philippians. He says, and now that I'm away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation. Work hard to show the results of your salvation. Now, what kind of work is he talking about? He tells you, obeying God. Work hard showing the results of your salvation by obeying God with deep reverence and fear for him. Amen. And when you begin to have that desire to God, what is he saying there? What he's saying there is live a life that you just all you want to do is please God. God, I want to please you. If it's what I'm thinking I want to do, or if you have something different for me, God, my greatest desire is to please you. When you begin to get that kind of attitude and that kind of heart, God will begin to walk you right into what he has for you, and you will be so thankful for it. Amen. One more verse, and then I'm going to close. Psalms chapter 37 and verse 4 in the New King James Version, it says this. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, many people over the years have loved quoting that scripture because they come up with things that they want. Man, I want a truck. I want a house. I want a boat. I want an airplane. I want this. I want that. I want an espresso machine. I had to throw my wife in there on that one.
Amen.
Right? There's a lot. How many know there's just a lot of things that we want? Man, I walk into my garage and there's a lot of things that I want right now, right? I'm working on a project right now and I'm having to save up a little bit more to complete it, and that's fine. But, I mean, this is a lot of things that we want in life, right? And so a lot of people have taken this scripture and says, well, I know I'm going to get it because God's going to, he'll give me that thing because he says he'll give me the desires of my heart. No, let's reread this a little bit. Delight yourself. What's the first thing? Delight yourself in the Lord. Just get to where you're comfortable being in his presence. Just get to where you're comfortable and just like, God, I just want to make you happy today. I just want to make you happy. So many times I pray this, Lord, let my life to be a love song written to you today. In other words, At the end of this day, I'm just wanting to have done some things and said some things that made you happy. Living your life to please God, that should be our top priority. God will take care of the bills. He'll take care of the wants. He'll take care of the needs. He'll take care of all of it. But the greatest thing is delighting yourself in the Lord. When you get to where you're just, man, God, I just want to make you happy today. It's not about what can I get, what can I, and how can I accomplish this? How can I get this new toy? How can I get this new thing? Oh, Lord, how can I get what I want? You hear a lot of I's in there. It's kind of like makes you think of selfishness. Right? But we don't want to be selfish. That's not the nature of God. For God so loved that he what? Saw what he could get out of it? No, he already saw that. For God so loved that he gave. Right? So delight yourself also in the Lord. And, I mean, I like that word. And, in other words, if you delight yourself also in the Lord, he will give you, watch this, he will give you the desires of your heart. Okay. He will put his desires in your heart. He will give you the desires. A lot of people like to focus of my heart. So in my heart, this is what I want. Come on. No, he will give you the desires. Let's just stop it right there just for illustration purposes. If you'll delight yourself in him, he'll give you the desires. What desires? The desires that you should be having. The desires to do his will. The desires to please him. But it comes from just delighting ourselves in him. And he will give you the desires. You're like, man, I just want to desire what God wants. Then delight yourself in him. Spend time in his presence. I tell people often, when they go, man, I'm not sure what I should do here. Just go and spend some time praying in the Holy Ghost. Spend some time praying in the Spirit. Praying in your prayer language. Spend time focusing on God, and God will begin to make he will begin to move the clouds, and he will make things more and more clear. Amen? Go ahead and stand up on your feet. Hallelujah.